Hey girls, I am actually coming to you this morning with a heavy heart, and I did feel that it was necessary to put something out for all of you, and hopefully this will live on the podcast for any time anybody ever listens to this episode. But we are just coming out of a very sad weekend with the mass shooting here in Virginia Beach. And I just want everyone to know that we have these people in our prayers and that we appreciate all of your prayers and that we are doing our very best as a city to take care of these families who were victims of this horrible tragedy. And I can't believe that our city is now in that category that has had something like this to happen, but I pray that you will keep these people and these families in your mind and in your prayers, because pain like this lasts for a very long time, and I just wanted to come out and say something about it, that we are doing everything that we can to love on these people and help them just in any way that we can. So thank you so much for your continued support and your continued prayers and your continued donations. Thank you so much.
Welcome to Adventuring the Girl Life, where we believe life for every girl should be well lived. Each week, we'll explore tips and techniques to add more adventure to your world, from fitness and self-care to career building and fulfillment in even the most mundane parts of life. So buckle up. I'm your host, Jen Whitmore, certified personal trainer, mom of two, lover of everything pineapple, and your new partner in adventure. Hey, hey, girls, welcome back to the podcast. We have another special guest this week, Ingrid Thompson. Now, Ingrid is in a special category. We talk about on this podcast, you know, anything and everything, but today we are focusing on career type categories. So Ingrid has her own podcast and a brand new book. Ingrid, I want to introduce you. Tell me about yourself. Say hello to the girls.
Hello, everyone. And from a very dark and cold Sydney morning, it's only dark because it's 5 a.m. And hello, Jen, and lovely to be talking to your girls on the podcast. So I wrote a book called So You Want to Start a Business, because today, more than ever, people just want to get started in their own business. Now, whether they want to scale into something that they'll sell to someone else, or whether it's something that they want to do because it's their passion project and they're going to make some money from it, or they're going to give themselves some flexibility to be able to be home, to be able to live the life they want, where they want, and on their own terms. So I've worked for about 20 years with people in business, starting businesses, winding up businesses, and I thought, you know, we just need some simple steps to follow. So I wrote the book, I have a podcast, I interview terrific guests. Jen is going to be one of my guests, and I help people. I'm good with numbers, I'm good with systems and processes. I can help people take their idea and figure out whether it's going to be a great business or not.
Oh, that sounds so exciting. So I am in this category, and I was somebody who wanted to start their own business. My parents are entrepreneurs, so I grew up knowing the difference between, you know, an entrepreneurial spirit and an employee, and I owned a different business with my husband for a long time, and then I decided that I wanted to do something else and venture out on my own, and so I am currently running Jen Whitmore Training, and then you girls know that we have a new service that's launching that's coming out, but I am in this category, Ingrid, so I would love for you to tell us how you got started in this. You said that you just thought that we needed simple steps to get started. And I think that this part of the equation is so important, because if any of you girls listening are familiar with the entrepreneurial category, then you know when you listen to a lot of other people talk about their successes, they're so much further down the track. And that's not helpful for any of us who are just brand new and starting out. So with that being said, go ahead, Ingrid, and now I'll let you answer my question. Tell me how you got started in this and how you made these early simple steps.
So it's a bit of a story. I'll tell it as quickly as I can. So I had a corporate world job. Like, I had a couple of corporate jobs and I loved the corporate world. I'm a people person. I love working in collaboration with teams. And when I say corporate, I mean, for Australia, they're big, probably not so much in America, but you know, I worked for a company that had nearly 45,000 employees, which is a pretty big business. And I had, I was in an accounting role. I started in accounting. I've always been really good at patterns and numbers, but I wanted to get into training and development because I think I probably had been a training and development person all my life. You know, I was a Girl Guide leader. I was in the Sunday school. I was a lifesaver at the beach. So, you know, I've always done things that involved me with other people. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I eventually got into the training and development area, and we used to train our supervisors and our team leaders before they became supervisors and team leaders. So I'm just sort of putting that over here, and we did a lot of customer service training. We created systems and processes for people. So that was the sort of training I did, really focused on customer, whether it was an internal customer or an external customer. And then one day the corporate world decided that they didn't need me anymore, and they said, off you go.
That's so disappointing.
So, you know, there I was doing a great job. And then they said, oh, you know what, actually, thanks very much. Off you go. So I thought, holy moly, what am I going to do now? Mm-hmm. And I had a contract for a while and I had a nice time. And then a friend of mine said, Ingrid, do you want to come and help me in our business? Our books are in a mess. We don't really know what we're doing. It was a friend that I had had for many years in the corporate world, and she was working in this business. It turned out it was a training company, so it was a lovely mixture. But it was the discovery that I had of small business. Now, I mm-hmm. didn't have an entrepreneurial background. My dad ran his own driving school. My grandfather had corner stores. But I'd really been programmed to grow up, go get a job, go to university, get a job. And I sort of did it backwards. I got the job and then went back to university. But, you know, I hadn't had that entrepreneurial stuff around me. It was always this idea of, you know, that this is where I would belong, was in a corporate world, and that they would take care of me forever. But, you know, as we know, they didn't and they don't. So I discovered small business when I went to work with this friend of mine, because she said, come and help me with your books. And I said, do you know how long it is since I did any accounting and bookkeeping? And she said, well, Ingrid, you have to be better than what we've had. So with that, I did an MYOB course, because that was pretty much the only thing that was around then. But it made me realize how fantastic small business was, because then somebody else asked me to come and help with their stuff. And then I went to a networking thing and they said, Ingrid, what are you doing? And I told them what I was doing for this company, and they said, oh my gosh, we need you to come and do that for us. So I was doing this sort of tidying up, cleaning up, fixing up mistakes, because people had got into business and just didn't have the systems, didn't have the processes, just sort of everything grew like topsy, and they sort of patched here and they did what needed to be done there. And I remember I was having this conversation, it's probably about 10 years ago now, I was having this conversation with my mum, and she said to me, oh, what are you working on now? What are you doing? And I said, oh, I'm coming up to fix up this. And I was describing this situation and how I was going to tidy it up, and we were going to put some systems in place. And she said to me, Ingrid, how can you be bothered? I said, what do you mean? And she said, how can you be bothered cleaning up all this stuff that people don't get right? And whatever way she said it, I thought to myself, yeah, what if we taught people how to get it right from the beginning?
Yeah.
And I looked around. I looked around and no one 10 years ago was showing anyone how to start a business. Nothing. There was no TAFE course. There was no university. There was no community college. There was no online programs. There was nothing. And I thought, Ingrid, you're a dill. This is what we did in the corporate world. You prepared people for what they were going to do next. So I set about a course. I ran it for 10 years in the community college. And what was really interesting, Jen, and for your listeners, you probably know this, that 10 years ago, the sorts of people that were starting a business were people a bit like me. It's like, what are my other options? Okay, I'll start a business. But really what we were doing was creating a job for ourselves. Whereas 10 years later, every second person, or pretty much everybody, has this, whether they say it out loud or whether they have this quiet dream inside themselves that says, I want to start a business. So, you know, the spirit for it, the appetite for it, the support for it everywhere by the governments, that wasn't here 10 years ago. So that's when I started doing it. And about 2 or 3 years ago, I started writing my book, and the book came out, took a little longer than I thought it was going to. And now I have clients that I work specifically with, just one-on-one. We run some group work as well, but we're really just helping with those fundamental 7 steps. What does it take? Here's what you need before you take all your money out of your mortgage, before you quit that job and decide, because maybe for some people, staying in a job is a great option, or going and working in someone else's business and helping them build that. Because an intrapreneur, which is somebody who works inside someone else's business, is pretty much as, you know, as effective as an entrepreneur. So you can still have that entrepreneurial mindset, but get inside a business that is growing and exciting. And so you can use those same skills. Long yes. answer to your question.
Oh, no, I love it. I love it. And this is so important. Like I just said earlier, you know, if you have that entrepreneurial spirit, if you want this, you know, you tend, I think, to be like an idea type of person. I think of random stuff all the time. I'm like, ooh, I wonder if that could be a business. Ooh, I wonder if that could be a business. You know, you've got that visionary mindset. And the hard part, I tell my husband all the time, I was just talking to him before we got on our interview today. I'm like, oh, I feel like my brain is going to explode because I've got so many things to do and I can't sit down and focus on one thing, because I'll start one thing and then something else pops up. And that honestly sometimes is just the life of an entrepreneur. But I really love how you have set things apart. And you have given people these 7 steps. You said 7, right? You mentioned?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So these steps to start out with, because I'm not sure how it is, you know, in Australia, but in the American culture, these are not things that we are taught. We are taught the same things that you mentioned earlier, you know, to go to school, to get, to go to college, to get a good job, and that's it. And our society and technology is completely changing. And I am not a person who is convinced that that's the road to take anymore. You know, when you go to college, or you guys call it university, and you come out with a very, very expensive piece of paper that no one can help you pay back, because you're not making the amount of money that you to be able to pay that kind of debt back. Now, I know that we're getting smarter and there are other options out there, but I always, you know, wanted to own my own business, because my ceiling, my income ceiling in my own business is based on my own efforts and what I can build. And yeah. So there's no one telling me, you know, when I can go to lunch and how much money I can make and what I'm worth and how long I'm worth it, you know, until they can get somebody to do it cheaper, or until the company changes and they don't need me anymore, like you mentioned. And so, again, we aren't taught how to do these things. And so for me, I am the perfect example of someone, if I had had your book when I very first started, things would have been so much different, because I jumped with both feet in and I floundered and sometimes drowned for a while in some of this stuff, because we don't know. And again, like I said, I consume podcasts and books, business information. I mean, like, I mean, crazy. You know, I consume it on a daily basis all the time. My husband asked me the other day, like, what kind of music I listen to when I work out. And I said, I don't listen to music. I listen to podcasts. And so the problem that I'm having with that is that they give you the success stories. You know, this is how well this person's done. And when they first started out, you know, they had a $40,000 launch. But it's because they already had a list. You know, they had a list. And so that way they were able to have a $40,000 launch. I'm like, let's take a step backwards. Tell me about the stuff where no one has a list. What do you do starting at that point? And no one is giving you that information. They want to tell you how awesome their course was and how much success this person had with their $150,000 launch. I'm like, these people had already started. They already had an email list. They already had a Facebook following. You need to tell me where to start from zero. And I am so excited about your book. So with that being said, tell me about your 7 steps.
Okay, so I'll go through them. It's pretty basic. So that there's 7, and look, it's available. I'm reading it on my podcast. So if somebody doesn't actually want to buy the book, they can listen to it. They don't even have to be subscribed to Audible.
Oh, wow.
I'm reading chapters of it on my podcast, just to give people a flavor and a sense of what it's about. I think Jen, you're so true there with what you're saying about we never get taught this, because I work a lot with health professionals, which is how you and I found each other. Mm-hmm. Thank you for finding me. And, you know, it's because I think we're taught a lot about what we're good at, but we're not taught how to run the business side of it. So, you know, I've got a fabulous dentist client, and for 10 years he's been a dentist, and he's just tired running his business. He just wants to do dentistry. He doesn't want to manage a team. He doesn't want to have to figure out the taxes at the end of the quarter and all of that sort of thing. So, you know, it's often people, like you said, we learn how to be a physical therapist. We learn how to do Pilates. We learn how to do yoga. But nobody teaches us the business side of that. So the first thing I would say to anyone listening who's in any of those sorts of fields, anywhere that you are, whatever it is you're interested in, go and try and get some experience doing it. Mm-hmm. Now, what I mean is if you're a Pilates teacher and you're teaching Pilates, see if you can get involved in helping one of the Pilates schools that you work in to run their business. Maybe do reception one day a week, or see if you can be the office manager, or see if you can help out with some of the social media, or if you can help with the bookings and setting up whether it's MindBody or some other type of technology that you use. Find a way to get involved in the actual business side of the business. That's the first thing I would say to anybody who's interested in business, so, and they've never actually been in a business. Because the first of my 7 steps is, who are you to start a business? And it's, how do you get, like you said, you listen to podcasts and you read books, but until you're actually starting to get yourselves in the nitty-gritty, how do you know that you are going to be the sort of person that is entrepreneurial? And so, you know, you talked earlier about how you have so many ideas. Finding a way to park those ideas is critical. Finding a way to say, okay, so that sounds like a great idea, but right now I am staying focused on this. Because one of the things I see is people jump like fleas from this to that and to something else without giving something a go. I have an acupuncture client, and I was just talking to her yesterday, and she was saying, I'm thinking maybe I should branch out into this. And, you know, we're not even a year into working on building her client base for what she's currently working on. And so we had a chat about that, and then she realized that she's better to stay where she is and keep building where she is, because she has done exactly what you've just talked about. She has started completely from scratch, and she goes out and she talks to people in the neighborhood. She puts flyers in other businesses. She has built relationships with other businesses. So if you're the sort of person that likes talking to people, that likes promoting yourself. When I first thought about having my own business, I thought, how am I going to get some sales experience? Because in my 20 years in my corporate world, I had never had to sell anything. I mean, I had to go for interviews occasionally and sell myself, but that's a different sort of selling yourself. every single day in your own business, you need to sell yourself. You're pitching all the time. You know that idea of if you're not pitching, you're pitching? You're always pitching. You're always telling people about your business. You're always looking for ways to help clients. And if you have a problem with sales, sales is what you do all the time, but it's not selling your stuff at people. And as soon as people feel like they're being sold at, they'll run a mile away. Mm-hmm. It's really finding the value. So the first is you. So then what is your idea? And that's where the value in that comes in, is what is the idea that you have for a business? And so often people have a great idea for a business because it's their great idea, but does anybody need it? Does anybody want it? And then the third thing is, who are your clients? And so often when I'm talking to people, they say, oh, everybody will be my clients. Truth is, no, everybody can't be your clients. I mean, I live in a suburb that has got, you know, maybe 1,000 people. You know, how many people are listening to your podcast? If every single person that listens to my podcast rang up and said, or emailed me and said, Ingrid, I want one-on-one with you, I haven't got capacity to take every single, everyone. So I know who my people are. You know, they're dedicated, probably health professionals, although, you know, I work with people in the well-being space. And, you know, I have a handful of people that I work with because that's my capacity. So, you know, who is your client? And just get really close to them. You know, I'm reading chapter 3, which is the client at the moment for the podcast. And it's just lovely to think about, who is that person? Get to know that person really well. And what is the value you provide? What is the problem that they have? And, you know, we know that people getting started in a business, and I think this is what people miss in those incubators and the accelerators and the courses that you're talking about, is that they've lost touch with what it's like to be back at the beginning. And that's what this book is about, is it's about helping people who are back at the beginning, people who just don't really understand. I was at this event last night and, you know, it was people who are super successful. One woman has bought and sold and started 4 businesses, and someone else has helped this, you know, and they run this incubator in one of the accelerator programs. And one of the people on the panel said, why are you all here? And, you know, people were sort of quiet because that was quite confronting for an audience. So it was about 40 or 50 people. And she said, well, ask your questions. And, you know, the truth is, people don't even know what questions they need to ask.
Yeah.
And that's why something simple like a book to read, something like a Back to Basics podcast are the sorts of things that people need. And I think you're absolutely right when you say these people who offer, here's how to be successful, they're taking you from a point that most of the people aren't at. They've forgotten that when you're right back at the beginning, you're not even sure what you don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, like you're just in this, it's like if you've never been around babies and you have one, you have no idea what's going on, do you?
Exactly. That's a great comparison. This thing is crying and I don't know what to do with it.
So there's the first 3 steps. Who are you to start a business? What's your idea? And who is your client? And then the fourth one is your brand. And as a small business, you might think, what am I going to do about branding? But it's so important, because if somebody comes to your podcast, if somebody comes to your website, if somebody comes to your Twitter or to your Instagram or your Facebook, they want to feel like they're in the same place. They don't want different font and different color and different things like that. So what is your brand and what do you stand for? And then there's the compliance part about insurances and legals and what structure will you have. And, you know, it's a thing that we need to pay attention to. We don't need to pay a lot of attention to it. But once we get that right, then we're home and hosed to get on with the business. And then the numbers. My favorite thing is, you know, what are the numbers? Is it viable? You know, before you go sign that lease, just pay for the next 3 years, you know, $1,000 a week or $1,000 a month. Let's be really clear what it's going to take to pay for that. You know, I was at a function a couple of weeks ago with Mind Body, and somebody stood up in the audience and she said, look, I've got a Pilates studio. I'm $15,000 in debt. I pay $750 a week rent. And, you know, I've got no money coming in. I am absolutely struggling. What do I do? And, you know, if we think about the numbers first, chances are we don't get into that situation. We build our business, we don't take on debt, we fund out of, you know, a way of find ways to make money. I have a whole chapter, a whole section of the chapter that says find ways to make money. You know, build your buffer balance so that you're not struggling with the finances. Because if you're not making paycheck, if you're not paying yourself, if you're not able to pay your bills, you're not going to be sleeping at night, and you're not going to be able to do your best work because not and sleeping at night because you're worried.
Exactly. Then you're concerned about your own mental health. exactly. So with that being said, I have a question to slide right in here about your clients and money. Do you talk about in the book services versus like physical products and physical locations?
Indeed. Good. And I think that is, you know, I think that's an area that is talked about in the book, but it's an area, wow, we could have a whole other podcast on that topic, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Because it is, how do you ask for what you think you're worth? And how do you not undersell yourself? And that whole imposter syndrome, levels of confidence is so important. And, you know, this is another area. You talk about the things we're not taught in school. We're not taught about money in school. We're not taught how to manage money. Unless we come from a family where we've been taught about good money management, most people don't know how to manage money. They don't know how to budget, don't know how to save. So I do spend a little bit of time in the book talking about that sort of thing because I'm very passionate about helping women especially have really good financial security. You know, I set myself up in the early days and, you know, I'm very grateful for, you know, asset building and saving plans that I had in the early days because I know when I get old, I've got some nice nest egg there for when, you know, for what I'm doing. And so you know, it's so important to get the money right, but it's so important to get your pricing right. You know, I've worked with someone, we started looking at her finances, and every single time she sold a product, she lost money because it cost her more to make the products than it did what she was getting the price for them.
And oh my goodness.
You can't run a business like that. And, you know, I think when you're working with personal services, you know, whether it's personal trainers, whether it's Pilates instructors, you know, whether it's dentists, whether it's consultants, coaches, you know, being able to ask for what you're worth, it really comes back to the value that you provide and the problem you solve for the person who's standing in front of you. So if you're really clear about how you help someone, if you're really clear about what the person's problem is, and sometimes it's not the problem they think it is. And that's where doing the good work before you get started is so critical, is to really understand what it is that you're providing to your clients. And then chapter 7 is all about sales and marketing. And, you know, if that's an area you're not familiar with, start paying attention to it. And, you know, there's so much free on the internet. There's so much information. There's so many courses that you can do. But trial and error is the best thing. And just don't spend a lot of money. You know, I was talking to somebody this week and they've got an incredible Instagram following. And the machine that is behind that Instagram following is huge. You know, people could spend their whole lives just building their Instagram account and, you know, taking photos. And these people who have large followings, who are influencers, they have teams of people just taking photos. They have teams of people putting together photo shoots. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like you can't be looking at the competition because you just have to do what you're going to do, know who your people are, and build that for yourself. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I completely agree with you. And there's still stuff that, you know, you, again, going back to not knowing what questions to ask, you will start to figure out those questions as you start, you know, as you start getting your feet dirty, as you were saying, or getting your hands dirty, you know, once you start doing things, those questions will start to come up. And I know, again, with the pricing, that's one of the main ones that we hear a lot in a lot of like business podcasts and stuff is people are not charging enough or they don't know what to charge. And that's something that I'm still currently working on in the new service. You know, we're in the middle of doing a lot of beta testing right now. And that's something that I'm not sure if people realize, you know, you don't have to go from zero to your hair on fire, you know, in 2 weeks' time. We've been working on this idea for a couple of months now, and I'm still, you know, impatient about how slow things are going. I'm like, I want this done. You know, the website's still getting worked on. The processing is still getting worked on. The pricing is still getting worked on. There's so many things. And so that's just, you know, for any of you girls listening, a reminder that things are slower than you would like for them to be. And there's going to be things that come up that you don't even know about when you very first start. And I agree with you too about knowing as far as finances that we're not taught. So we don't know. And that's something that my husband and I are actually working on with our children right now, you know, because we know these things aren't taught in school because we had to learn the hard way. We are, and our kids are little, like they are 12 and 8. And so they are in the process of learning as we go. We've been doing this financial system with them for the last 2 years where they paid for the chores that they do and they split their money up into saving and giving and spending. And so they know what they give to church. They know what goes into a savings account that's never touched. And then the rest that's left over, they get to play with. And so we're trying to instill those things now so that when they get older, they're not going to, you know, get thrown into the world and be scared to death. And so that's even, you know, those are just life skills that you need and will help you as an entrepreneur when you start on this journey. Very good. So
Go ahead. I heard a terrific interview with Usain Bolt, you know, the guy who runs the fastest.
Yes.
And he said, he was talking, his coach and he were talking and they were saying, just talking about the competition and just, I was thinking about what I said there at the end about people have a lot of followings and other businesses are much more successful, is that you, when you're running and you're running really fast, the fastest, the best way to lose that race, if you're running 100 meters, like you've only got this far to go, the best way is to look around and see what everyone else is doing, because in that nanosecond, the race is lost. And so he does not, he just has his lane, he has the finish line in front of him. And I think it's a terrific analogy for anybody, particularly anybody who's into fitness and wellness and any kind of, you know, if you're doing any kind of precision work, you cannot be looking around you when you're doing stuff. You have to be focused. You and I are doing this podcast interview. You and I are only in this interview right now. You know, when I'm working one-on-one with my clients, you're only working one-on-one. You're not looking around at the periphery. And I think that's a really important skill and a focus to be able to have that focus that keeps you on track to one idea, to one client, to one product or service, and really work that through. And the flip side, of course, not hanging on to something so doggedly that you end up being bankrupt because you didn't see the signs to, And to your thing about questions, I think it's really important to learn to ask good questions. And if you ask questions of your clients and you're doing your research, then the more questions you ask, you'll realize, oh gosh, I didn't ask that question, and then ask that question next time. So build your repertoire for asking good questions.
That's awesome. So tell us where we can get the book, and then I want to talk about the podcast.
Okay, so the book is anywhere you buy your books online. So it's called So You Want to Start a Business. It has a blue cover. So You Want to Start a Business by Ingrid Thompson. It's on Amazon and Booktopia and wherever you buy your books online.
Great.
If you go into a bookshop, they might have a copy in the bookshop, but they can always order a copy in, and it probably comes in the next day, whatever happens with bookshops. And if you're in Australia, if you've got some listeners in Australia, Jen, it's on my website. But my website is healthynumbers.com.au. So we are .com.au, so it's Healthy Numbers. And there's a ton of information there. There's products there about money. There's products online about cash flow. And so I do, I believe the money side of things is critically important, because that's where people can come really unstuck. You know, if you invest your savings and then, and as you said, you can spend a lot of time waiting for things to happen. I've seen people spend money on coaches or on training programs that, you know, they don't get out of them what they think they're going to. So I think start slowly, give yourself some time to plan, figure out what you're doing, get yourself surrounded by some really good people. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, so before we go, I want to ask you about the podcast. So your podcast is also called So You Want to Start a Business, correct?
Yes, it is. And, you know, it's got some pretty fantastic guests. Now, I know you said about success stories, but my last podcast that just went live this week is with a young man in Sydney who has developed a product completely changing the way people do a particular part of the beauty industry. Mm-hmm. And in 12 months, before their first birthday, that business made $12 million.
Oh my gosh.
Now, he didn't really have a list. He didn't, but he spent nearly a year, he and his business partner spent nearly a year researching. They put their $10,000 each into product. They got some test products. They bought 100 products and they didn't know whether that would sell in a week or a month or how long. 3 days, the 100 products were sold out.
Wow.
And the rest it's just gone gangbusters. Is that a word you use? Is that okay to say that?
That's amazing.
Yeah. But it's an interesting podcast because he was really surprised how quickly the competition came snapping at his heels. His products have been copied very quickly, but it's quite revolutionary in his thing. Now, that said, I have also interviewed people who are still in the early stage, people who have, you know, really had some struggles in their business, people being very, very honest about how it is to get started, what their mistakes have been, what their learnings have been, what their greatest achievements have been. So there's a lovely mixture. There's not quite 100 episodes. There's 85, or 80, I think that was 86 or 87. So there's a lovely mixture of podcasts all the way back through. You know, there's a dentist who came to Australia. And when you come to Australia from another country as a dentist, you're not allowed to be a dentist in Australia. And she washed dishes for $5 an hour while she waited for the Australian government to approve her her ability to be a dentist.
Wow.
So this, you know, Pilates instructors, yoga, So there's a really lovely mixture of people telling their story, and not all uber. There's a few uber successfuls like Dylan with his $12 million, and there's a couple of others like that. But it's really back to basics. What can we do to help people who are really wanting to get started? It's a fun podcast.
Yes,
and you're going
so
to be
amazing. Oh yay, I'm so excited. Okay, so Ingrid, you have your podcast, So You Want to Start a Business. You have your book on how to get people started right out of the gate called You Want to Start a Business. Yes. And do you do individual coaching as well?
I do some individual coaching. So okay. People can have a one-off clarity session. So I have that available online and we do it with Zoom. And I have clients all around the world. I have a few one-on-one clients and I have a new service that I have just started to work with. And it's I work with people over a period of 14 weeks to work through the book. So a one-on-one bespoke to them, working through the chapters of the book, the templates and the activities, 14 weeks, one-on-one every week for that 14 weeks. So that's something that, because I think that's what some people need. Some people only need 3 or 4 coaching sessions, and I'm not the sort of coach that wants to lock somebody in forever. I do have clients that stay with me for longer, but if somebody just needs 3 or 4 sessions to get themselves, you know, through the next sticky bit, that's available as well. So I love working one-on-one. I think group work and Zoom is fantastic, and I do face-to-face workshops here in Sydney. But, I think the one-on-one work is very valuable to people.
Yes, I agree. Sometimes it's just so nice to have somebody to bounce things off of, you know, have your ideas like out loud and someone else to kind of help you see around things, you know. So,
yeah.
Girls, well, thank you so much, Ingrid, for being with us. Girls, this is the end of our episode today. We're not going to keep Ingrid any longer, but all of her information, of course, will be in the show notes. And Ingrid, thank you so much. I have enjoyed having you on the podcast so much.
Thanks, Jen. Thanks so much. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, girls. I look forward to seeing you in Sydney in the surf sometime.
Very good. All right, girls. Until next week, adventure on.